Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
72 degrees right now, going up to about 90, chance for showers in the afternoon, although we're off to a cloudy start, and we get the feeling that it's hot everywhere, but in New Hampshire right now, it's 60 degrees. So if we were there, we'd feel better than we do, but we're not, so it doesn't. Todd Bell joins us now, Professor and Director of the Political Management Program at George Washington University. How are you, Todd?
Good morning, Tommy. Great to be with you. Doing well on yourself?
I'm okay. Let's talk about this. It's gotten the name Big Beautiful Bill, and it seems like some people have embraced it, others have not. I guess beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. To be accurate, this is an appropriations bill, correct?
It is. It does fund the government, but it's also being passed through the reconciliation process, which is a little different than the normal appropriations process. This allows the Senate to bypass the filibuster rule, which would give Democrats the chance to stall it. So because of that, it has followed different rules, particularly one called the Byrd rule, which means everything in there has to make sure that it has some budget implications and brings the budget into balance.
So they have to offset. In other words, it has to be revenue neutral.
That is supposed to be, yes. Although, you know, there's a lot of gimmicks and things, and if you stretch it out over time, it doesn't really have to be. So it's the first year is budget neutral, and then you stretch it out.
Let's go take another step back. What is it that, about this that makes it eligible to be passed by reconciliation?
Interestingly, the fact that it has only budgetary things in it. That's really what the Byrd rule is about, and that's actually up to the Senate parliamentarian to decide. There are some items in it about the judicial oversight of the executive branch, which may not be able to be included. You might remember back when the Democrats were trying to use this process to pass the Build Back Better bills, a lot of B's in these bills, under Biden. Democrats wanted to put an increase in the minimum wage in there, and the Senate parliamentarian told them they couldn't do that because that was not directly related to budgetary revenues and expenditures.
So let's go back to the 1,000-foot level or however high you want to go, Todd. The Republicans have the House and the Senate and the White House. They're conservatives. They want to cut federal spending. How does it get to this point where you would think that all of the Republicans would be together in that we're not going to do anything to increase the deficit, if anything, or the debt, rather, if anything, we're going to make sure that it goes down, but this bill does anything but that, correct or not?
That's right. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office has found that there's going to be a significant increase in the debt. And the reason for that is, yes, the Republicans want to cut spending, but they also want the tax cuts. And so you have to find somewhere to pay for them or to offset it, and the offsets are not going to look like they're going to be enough. And so while Republicans can all agree they want tax cuts, where they disagree is where you get the funding for this. For example, you have a lot of senators who don't want to see the extreme cuts to Medicaid go on in their states because it could adversely affect some of their constituents.
Yeah, let's talk about that if we can, because it seems like, again, Republicans, conservatives, I'm a fiscal conservative myself, but when it comes to social policies, I don't care who does what with whom so long as you don't hurt me about it. I guess it makes me more of a libertarian. But it just seems as though the Republicans have a chance now to do something, and they're squandering it. Would that be accurate politically or not?
Well, yes and no, because remember, those margins that they have are very, very small. They can only afford to lose 2 votes in the House and 3 in the Senate. So, you know, every member of the House and the Senate, their number one concern is reelection. And if there are anything in this bill that can damage their hopes of reelection by, you know, harming their constituents, that can be a tough sell. But I would say that, you know, one of the things we've seen from Donald Trump so far is he has, this time around in his presidency, the second time around, he's really been a tremendous closer in terms of putting the heat on his party to get them to vote in line in ways he wasn't able to do the first time around. So while there are a lot of opponents to this bill from the Republicans, some want to see more decreases in spending, some want to make sure that the spending decreases aren't harming their constituents, I think they will all come around at some point.
So what is it that's driving President Trump as it relates to this big, beautiful bill that's in it that he's hell-bent on getting passed, that he wants done?
Oh, well,
so
the
bad.
Number one, yeah, what he really wants in here is the increase in military spending, including another $150 billion for what he's calling Golden Dome, which is a similar missile defense system such as Israel has. They have the Iron Dome. He wants to create one here in the United States. He also wants tremendous increases in spending for immigration enforcement and deportation. So those are the big ticket items in terms of the increases in spending that he does want.
And then the because of reconciliation, the other side of that is, okay, we're spending more here. We need to cut something there. Accurate?
That's exactly right. And so because you have to have it in balance, you got to, for every increase, you got to cut. And remember, there's going to be a decrease in overall revenues because of those tax cuts that Donald Trump wants to make permanent. And the other thing that they're disagreeing over is whether or not this will stimulate enough economic growth. A lot of the Republicans who are supporting the president say that, you know, this bill will create a lot of new jobs and revenue in terms of tax revenue. Well, the Congressional Budget Office doesn't think so. So there's a big disagreement there.
So I spoke to somebody last week about this Golden Dome thing, a defense expert. I forgot who it was. And he was saying that maybe it's something we should look into. And that $150 billion is just a down payment, because it could be like more like $750, I think, by the time it's over with. To stay ahead of the Chinese, or at least to keep up with the Chinese or those that would do us harm or could potentially do us harm. So if that's the case, it would seem like politically the Republicans would, I think I just talked myself in a corner here, Todd, because I think I just answered my own question. No, I just answered my own question, because if they were to fund defense, then if they weren't going to do it with reconciliation, they would need Democratic votes, which they're not going to get, or they'd be subject to the filibuster in the Senate. If they want to do it as they're doing it now and cutting Medicaid, then they get pushback from Republican senators who say it's going to hurt them in their states, right?
That's right, yeah. And that's why it's all got to be in here, because the Democrats don't want to give any sort of easy wins to the president in that way.
And that's the corner I kind of talked myself into, but that is accurate, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We'll come back. Todd Belt, our guest, professor, director of the Political Management Program at George Washington University. So we'll drill down on the senators that are against cuts to Medicaid and SNAP. Louisiana residents would be hurt by cuts to Medicaid. We'll talk about that at some point, either today or tomorrow. And along those lines, what does it mean for individual states? And why would a Republican not be for that? I think the answer is because it's going to hurt people and they're not going to get reelected. But we'll see when we return. 620 traffic now, WWL. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about the spending bill, the big, beautiful bill, with Todd Belt, professor and director of the Political Management Program at George Washington University. He's made it very understandable so far, and where the landmines are in this. when it comes to, somebody texted in and said, problem is we have no statesman on either side of the aisle, and with that, the eventually is going to die on the vine. Somebody else said, why is the emphasis on re-election for the senators? Plain and simple, no integrity in politics anywhere anymore. But only a third of the Senate is up this next cycle. So can you look at this, drill down on this, Todd, and look at the specific...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
To fix seats to see who's more concerned with this than others when it comes to the Senate?
Well, yeah, there are certain senators who are going to be up who are a little bit more concerned, but also... remember, the senators represent larger geographical areas generally than members of the House. So they may have a lot of well-off people in their state and not so well-off. And the key concern for some of these senators, and there's 4 to 5 of them that are really opposed to these Medicaid cuts, the thing they're talking about isn't, you know, well, you might have to pay more to go to your doctor. That's not really it. What it is this can really threaten rural hospitals, mm-hmm. because the rural hospitals depend so much on the Medicaid payments to treat people that they could potentially go under, and then people would lose their ability to go to the hospital. They have to go further, and then you'd see mortality increase that way.
So it seems like what's not happening here is the proper things aren't being prioritized, and mm-hmm. also things are being, they're making a big deal out of things that, you know, somebody texted in the other day and said every penny counts. I think at this point with the debt, you got to go beyond pennies. And I think they're making superficial political cuts to things that aren't really going to make a difference. Is that accurate?
There's, you know, the big ones are Medicaid and SNAP, which is supplemental nutritional. That's also what is called food stamps. That's over $1 trillion in where the cuts are. The rest is pretty superficial, but the real big one is Medicaid.
So if they do those cuts, tell me about the senator's concerns about it being pushed down to the states, because nothing's free. Every action has a reaction. Somebody's got to pay for it, and if nobody pays for it, what happens?
Yeah, that's right. And in regard to that text you got about people worrying about re-election, that is kind of how they get their job, remember? Mm-hmm. And if senators are doing a good job and representing their constituents, they should get reelected, ideally. So that's kind of how we hold them accountable. So concern about reelection is, you know, just like making sure you do a good job so your boss doesn't fire you. So there's part of that, too. But yeah, in terms of the concerns we've seen, you know, Susan Collins has raised concerns about Medicaid expansion in the rural hospitals. Josh Hawley is really concerned about co-payments really affecting his constituents in terms of Medicaid. Tom Tillis of North Carolina, Jerry Moran of Kansas, and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, that rounds out the sort of the big five on this, who are really concerned about that. And so if you don't get those cuts, then you might, you know, increase the deficit even more. And then you have the real budget hawks like Mike Lee, and some other senators who want to see the overall spending go down. And so it's almost like whack-a-mole with the Senate right now. If you decrease the cuts in one area, then you might lose some senators who want to see decreases in overall spending in another area. So it's a real difficult tightrope to walk right now.
Another wild card is President Trump and the nature of his presidency, where he's not quite a lame duck, but after the midterms, he certainly will be. And at what point does he start to lose political power? And does what's happening in Los Angeles right now play into any of his political power and influence at all or not as it relates to this bill?
Right. Well, there's an old saying in politics that nothing gets done in an election year. So that's why 2025, and Donald Trump has signaled he wants this done by the 4th of July to get this bill passed. And so, you know, that, you know, takes some of the sting out of it during an election year. So really, he's only got this year to pass his policy proposals. But you brought up the issue in Los Angeles, and we've also got, of course, the parade going on right now. And so here's some more fiscal issues that some of the senators are concerned about. It looks like the Marine deployment and the National Guard deployment, if it's going to last the 60 days as they've asked for, it's probably going to cost about $134 million. And the parade is supposed to cost about $45 million. That's the estimate we got back when Donald Trump wanted to do it during his first term. They were estimating between $80 and $90 million. So if you're trying to cut costs and you're doing these sorts of things, the parade and the military deployments, it's hard to do both at the same time. However, Donald Trump does have, you know, the judge's ruling last night, which knocked down Gavin Newsom's challenge to President Trump's authority in this regard. And, you know, both sides are seeing what they want to see and what's going on in Los Angeles. You know, if you support the protest, then you see, you know, the police overreacting. If you're against the protest, then you see looting and damaging going on. And so recent polling has seen this breakdown right along partisan lines.
Thank you. Appreciate your time, Todd Bell, Professor Director of the Political Management Program at George Washington University. We'll talk with Greg Upton when we come back about the big bill and if it cuts clean energy studies, what that means for burgeoning industries in Louisiana. First, though, we pause for WWL First News. 6:45, quarter till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. I asked you to text the Oakmont Jeweler text line, 504-260-1870. Please no texting and driving. Do you think $45 million is worth it for a military parade this weekend? And I know you're not going to believe this, but the way it's breaking down is that people that don't like President Trump are against it, and people that like him are for it. Who saw that coming? Everybody. I think when it comes to subsidies and green energy, whether you're a Republican or a conservative, if you got skin in the game, if you've already invested in it, then you are definitely concerned about what happens with the big, beautiful bill, as it's called, the appropriations bill. Greg Upton joins us now, director of LSU Center for Energy Studies, to walk us through that. How you doing, Greg?
Doing good. Good morning, Tommy.
So let's talk about what kind of capital investment has been made in Louisiana and who made it, and I guess the other question is, what prompted that investment?
Yeah, so we've seen a historic decade of investment this last decade in Louisiana. It really comes down to, of course, we've seen large increases in oil and gas production in the United States. It was made possible by the kind of shale revolution, which includes the Haynesville Shale in northwest Louisiana. We invested in a lot of the processing of refining, chemical manufacturing. So this is the creation of liquid fuels, chemicals, plastics, fertilizers, the export of natural gas in the form of LNG, and we ship these products all over the world. So we're a big exporter. And we've seen over $100 billion of investment in these sectors over the last decade or so. One of the things that these companies who are investing here increasingly tell us is that the customers all over the world are asking them to document what their carbon intensity is. And so now we're really seeing this next wave of investments that is due to this global demand that I talked about, but was also due to the Inflation Reduction Act and a lot of the subsidies for low-carbon products that were put in place there in order to not only produce these products, but also produce them in a way that emits less greenhouse gas emissions. And so we've seen a lot of investment. About a third of the investments that we're tracking right now are actually not only just in the production of these products, but also producing those in a way that is lower carbon intensity.
So it is, in a way, I hate to use the phrase organic, but it is in that it's coming from the customers who are telling the companies that they want to know what kind of green technology they're using and what kind of, or at least contribution they're making to the carbon issue in the atmosphere. Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. So these companies are deploying capital all over the world. Remember that these are multinational corporations. And as they're considering where they're going to put the investment, one of the factors that they're going to look at is that carbon intensity of that product. And also the subsidies that we have in the U.S., of course, impact where you're going to do that low carbon investment, because of course if you do it here, you're going to have access to those subsidies. So it's kind of two things. Number one, the customer demand, what the customers are saying, but also where you're going to have access to those subsidies is also going to be important.
And I just brought that up for people to think the government's shoving it down people's throat. The companies are reacting to what their customers are telling them. That's accurate?
Oh, absolutely.
So let's talk about for Port Fouchon, for example. I talked to Chet Chasson last week about as conservative as they can be, as is R.T. Chasson, no relation, but about how they're embracing the all-of-the-above energy strategy when it comes to green energy. Now, some people conflate the politics of green energy with the business and the money side of green energy. We are all concerned about debt and deficit. When it comes to cutting, it's like, well, just the opposite of what Earl Long said, don't tax me, don't tax you, tax the guy behind a tree. It's don't cut me, don't cut you, cut the guy behind whatever it is. So, I mean, that's kind of how it is here, right? And people have already invested a lot of money. And if the government, if this bill passes and cuts green energy subsidies, what happens then, Greg?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a hard one because, just as you said, you could be someone who believes that a lot of the subsidies that were passed in the Inflation Reduction Act shouldn't have been passed. That's a legitimate, of course, point of view. But now that they are moving forward with these investments and a lot of planning has happened, when you have the current proposed changes of removing some of these subsidies, of course, some of the companies are saying, look, I already started the investment in this. I've already gone down the path of looking at these projects based upon the information that was there and based upon the tax regime that was there. And now are we looking at changing that? And so that's kind of the uncertainty. And so on one hand, you can say, hey, look, let's get rid of all these subsidies. And that could be a very legitimate point of view. But on the other hand, you have to say, okay, well, given that we've passed these subsidies and given that companies are making plans based upon this, can we change the rules of the game, if you will? And that's fundamentally what the debate that's being had right now.
I think I'll give this analogy and then we'll take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. I think what this is kind of like after one of the hurricanes we had, I forgot which one it was, where the power went out. There was no real hurricane damage, but FEMA decided to give everybody, I think, $300 or $600 for what they lost in their freezer. And people were lined up for 8, 9, 10, 11 hours outside of the Ilerio Center to get their money. And I was asking on the air, well, why are you doing that if you're against this or against that or against the other thing? And so, well, now's my turn to get my share of it. And it seems like in the abstract, people might be against SNAP or against food stamps until they have a chance to take advantage of it. And it seems like this is kind of the same thing, where green energy, it's not good, it's bad, I'm against it, unless I can get some help from the government in form of a subsidy and monetize it. Did I say anything wrong here?
Yeah, I mean, it's fair. When we talk about these taxes and subsidies, one of the things that we observe is, of course, people don't like paying taxes, right? And I mean, I'll be included in that, right? No one likes paying their tax bill every year. It's not a pleasant thing to do. But also, when these subsidies go through, it can be really hard to change those, right? Because the individuals and the companies that are getting those subsidies, of course, are making economic decisions based upon that. So, yeah, it's absolutely fair.
Oh, I haven't filed in 30 years. I don't pay taxes. Forget that. I'm just going to disappear one day. 6:52, more with Greg Upton when we come back. Traffic now, WWL. 6:58, somebody texted in and said, my mic is lower than everybody else's. Okay, then I'll talk like this. Greg Upton, director of LSU Center for Energy Studies, our guest. So, you know, politics and policy can get to be strange bedfellows. Governor Jeff Landry, big ally of Trump, he's touted these Inflation Reduction Act projects, saying that it's an example of Louisiana's all-of-the-above approach to energy, although he's against green energy and subsidies. And again, it brings up the problem, unless it is my state and it's jobs and it helps us, then it's different, right, Greg? I mean, what is this big bill set to do as it stands now to green energy investments in Louisiana and for those that have already put some skin in the game?
Yeah, so the Gulf Coast of the U.S. is really kind of the epicenter of the global energy markets. And so Louisiana, as we mentioned earlier, has seen an enormous amount of growth and investment within those sectors. And so when the Inflation Reduction Act passed, Louisiana was among perhaps the most impacted states by that. And we've seen investments in solar energy, for instance, is moving forward in Louisiana right now, a lot of investment going on there. We also have investment in what's called hydrogen production. The legislature has a clean hydrogen task force for which I sit on right now. Part of hydrogen is what's called carbon sequestration. Again, not to get too technical, but when you create what's called blue hydrogen, you take natural gas, you take the hydrogen out of that, and you sequester the carbon dioxide. And so we've seen a lot of investment in that. You've also seen investment in low carbon emission fuels. And so that can be what's called bioenergy or BECCS, which is bioenergy with carbon sequestration. And so just across the board, we've seen a lot of investment. And a lot of that, again, has been spurred by these subsidies in the Inflation Reduction Act alongside with these customers and what their demand is for these low carbon products.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it. I guess uncertainty is not going to help with further investment. We'll take a break, come back, talk about metadata and power here on WWL.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.